Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I just thank you for each person that is here. And Father, I ask for a hedge of protection for all of those that are still traveling. Lord, may we just put all of our worries and things to the side this morning, and may we focus on you. Lord, may we remember that we're here to worship and bring honor to you and not ourselves. Lord, I thank you for the way that you provide for us. Lord, we thank you for the offerings that we receive, and may it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand.
Stop the Lord Almighty, and who can stop?
Amen, amen, amen. This morning for my three, I just want to share a little passage with everyone. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15. Starts there and it says, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." And that first part there, "But in your hearts regard Christ as Lord, as holy, and ready to give a defense to anyone who asks," it's not about being combative, but it's about being ready to share the hope that Jesus in your life with the world around them. That's one of the things that we do here with My Three, is we're praying that the world may come to know who Jesus is. Whether it's through our words, whether it's through our actions, we're praying that God does a new work inside of them, that the Holy Spirit works inside of them. Because we all know people that don't know Jesus. We all know people that are struggling in life. And it's our job as believers, as followers of Christ, to lift them up in prayer at all times. So what I want you guys to do right now is I want you to think of your three in your life that don't know Jesus, and I want you to pray for them. And I want you to do that not just today, but each day going forward. And because we know that God hears our prayers and He answers them, and He's the only one that can transform our lives. We can't do it, but He can. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You right now, and Lord, we thank You for the way that You've transformed our lives. We thank You for making everything new again. Lord, I ask that You hear us as we pray for those around us that don't know You. Lord, that You hear us as we lift up their names inside of this moment. Father, that we trust You in through all of it. Because Lord, we know that You can make all things new. Lord, we turn them over to You now. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then You came along and put me back together. Thank You, Father. And every desire is now satisfied here in Your love. Oh, there's nothing. To show You my weakness. nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Trust me. praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah.
For your goodness on us, and you are worthy to be praised. So we say thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
Well, good morning, church. It's great to be here this morning with each and every one of you, and I want to take a moment this morning and just welcome our guests and those joining us online in the radio. We're thankful for each of you guys. Just for a little housekeeping as a heads up on a couple things, just a reminder that Wednesday night we've got the missionaries here. These are the missionaries that we've been talking about that are in the Middle East and have been sharing Jesus. And we've heard some different updates about some of the troubles that they've ran into, but also some of the good works that they've been doing. And so this will be an opportunity for us to see them face to face again and just to hear their story. 6:30 here at the church. Also, next Sunday, we are taking communion. And so with that being said, I just want to encourage you guys to examine your hearts and minds this week, to take the time to prepare for that moment of when we take communion. So just a couple little things there I wanted to go over. But before we dive into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and just to worship you and to dive into your word. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, otherwise I ask that it may penetrate even the hardest of hearts. And that, Lord, that you may be glorified at the end and that we may look to you for our hope. We may look to you for our future. To not trust in ourselves, but to trust in you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, when we were in the Life of Christ series, we saw Jesus sitting down and sharing a meal at the house of one of the Pharisees. And as Jesus was sitting with them, they began to watch Jesus very closely. Now, they weren't watching him because they were hoping to learn something from Jesus. No, that's not what was going on here. They were watching him because they were trying to lay a trap for Jesus. And that's why they brought this man who was ill to the dinner that they were having with him. You see, it was the Sabbath, and they were hoping that Jesus would heal him. Not because they thought, we really want to see this man do well. We want to see him get better. No, they were hoping that Jesus would heal the man on the Sabbath so they had something to accuse him of. Well, with Jesus being Jesus, we know what he did. He healed the man. But it backfired on the Pharisees. You see, Jesus put the question back onto the Pharisees on why wouldn't they heal this man? Why wouldn't they go through this? He reminded them that they too would rescue one of their own children if they were in trouble. That they too would even go as far as rescuing one of their animals if they were in trouble, even if it was on the Sabbath. So why couldn't he heal this man? The men at the meal didn't care about the law, you see. They didn't care about the man who was ill in front of them. They just thought Jesus was breaking it, and they wanted to enforce it to make themselves look better. They did all of this to try to elevate themselves. But Jesus was saying we need to humble ourselves to serve others, to remember that we are called to love others and to love God. And the way we do this is by serving others and elevating others and not ourselves. To make this point just a little bit clear, Jesus dove in and he shared a parable of a wedding banquet and where they should sit. You know, at that particular time in history where you sat at a banquet distinguished how important you were. The further up you were, the closer you were to the head, the more important you were. And the people would shuffle and move and try to get up front as far as they could, often thinking of themselves higher and more important than what they truly were. And we know that's no different than often what we see in our world today. We often think of ourselves higher than what we truly are. We think ourselves as more important than what we truly are. But Jesus reminded us in the parable that we're called to take the lower seat, that we're called to be servants and serve others, just as Jesus did. You know, Jesus himself took the lower seat. He did this when he left heaven, when he took on the form of man and died a sinner's death that he did not deserve. And he did all of this to serve us, to make a way where there was no other way. And we're called to model our life after this. To live a life where we serve God and serve others, even to the least of these. And that includes serving those who can't serve us back. And that's where our message picks up this morning. We're going to be over in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, for those who want to follow along. And I do want to give you guys just a little bit of a heads up. I do want to encourage you to get your Bibles out this morning or the Bible app. With the storms that have been rolling through, the screens have been flickering a little bit, so I'm not promising that they'll be on for the whole message. So might not be a bad idea to have Luke chapter 14, 15 through 24 pulled up. You know, in the text last week, Jesus had shared those two different parables regarding the banquet. And at the end, as Jesus closed up his teaching about inviting those who can't repay you, it told us in verse 14, it said, "And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness." It was here that Jesus was talking about how we will be blessed at the end. And by that, he means we will be blessed when we enter the kingdom of God. And that our reward is found in heaven, not here on earth. Well, when Jesus made the mention of the resurrection, it immediately sparked some interest in the men that were sitting there at the table with Jesus. Which brings us to our first verse of this morning, verse 15, where it says, "When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is the one who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God.'" He got a little excited here. He understood that Jesus was talking about the future kingdom. He was talking about end times. And inside of their mindset of the day, the people pictured their future kingdom as this great feast, this great banquet. And at this banquet, there would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, along with all the other prophets would be there as well. And these men would be honored guests at this banquet. And the Pharisees that were sitting there at this meal with Jesus had full confidence that they too would be at this banquet at the end. And the reason they had this confidence had nothing to do with God. It had nothing to do with where they were at in their walk with God. But it had everything to do with their heritage. It had everything to do with their ancestry. You see, they believed because they were Jewish that they would be there. On top of that, they believed that their individual holiness, their strict adherence to the letter of the law, would gain them access to heaven. It didn't matter how they treated others. It had everything to do with the fact that they were following this law so directly and so strictly, and they would gain this access to the banquet. So between their ancestry and between their own good works, they were good to go. Don't you know who I am? It had nothing to do with God's grace. It had nothing to do with God's mercy. It had everything to do with themselves. You know, in reality, though, in our world today, that's not changed much, has it? There seems to be this idea in our world that as long as we're a good person or we're better than the person beside us, we get to join this banquet as well. There seems to be a view in the world today that as long as you say a few prayers, you can go to heaven. There's some that hold this idea that as long as your parents or grandparents were saved, then you got a golden ticket as well. But that's not how any of this works, is it? You see, it takes more than just being a good person. It takes more than just saying a few prayers. It takes more than having a few family members that are Christian. Don't get me wrong, those are all wonderful things. I'm not taking away from those. But it takes a life that is dedicated to Christ. One where we are transformed from the inside out. Where we allow God to do a new work inside of us is where we say no to things of this world and we put our hope and our trust in Christ and in Christ alone, because we understand that it's only through Christ that we are saved. It's only through Christ that we get to go to heaven. It has nothing to do with us. We know that God loves all of his creation and that all are invited to participate in the gospel message. All of us are invited to participate in the saving grace of Jesus. But we also know not everyone responds to that invitation to participate. And as we dive into Jesus' parable this morning, we see this ever so more clearly. The parable this morning is called the parable of the large banquet. And it starts off with verses 16 and 17. "Then he told him, 'A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who were invited, "Come, because everything is now ready." This morning, as we dive into the message and this passage, we see Jesus once again using the illustration of a banquet. We have to remember that banquets were very important at that time within the culture. It was a time for celebration. It was a time for community gatherings and so much more. These banquets were not just thrown together, though, either. It wasn't like we would sit here and go, you know what, at 5 o'clock tonight, let's do dinner. That's not what these banquets were. These were elaborate events. These were big deals, and a lot of preparation went into it. So what would happen is the person who was putting together the banquet would send out two invitations to all the guests. The first invitation went out would almost be like an RSVP on whether or not they were able to come. This gave people the heads up that, hey, I'm going to have a banquet around this time. Are you able to make it? Are you able to join? It's no different than when we put out RSVP to birthday parties, other events, weddings. We send out invitations and we're looking for RSVPs. You know, we need those responses as a host to know how many people we need to be prepared for. We need to know how much wine to have on hand for everyone, how much meat they need to have prepared to feed the people, all along with the other foods and drinks. You know, it was considered an embarrassment at that time if you had a big event like this and you ran out of food and drinks. Like, why did you not properly prepare? Why did you invite all these people if you can't provide for them? Now, after the host had prepared all the food and acquired the wine and stuff they needed for the banquet, along with having it all set up, they would send out the second invitation, telling everybody it was time to come and enjoy. And when we look at this passage, when we look at this parable, it's meant to be a reminder to us of God's invitation to his kingdom. Just as the host has sent out in our parable, sent out invitations to the people for the banquet and asked them to respond, Jesus has sent out an invitation to the world through the gospel and asked them to respond. He asks us to respond. And that invitation to the gospel is available to each and every person around the world. It's a universal call. It's a universal opportunity to participate in God's glorious plan of restoration back to him. And though often weddings and banquets and things like that have a limit of how many people can be invited, the invitation of the gospel is not just for some people. It isn't a limited number. It's open and available to all people. Yet just like a banquet or a wedding, the gospel requires us to respond to that invitation. You know, when someone comes along and presents the gospel message of Jesus to us, we have to make a decision on whether or not to accept that good news. This is not an invitation that we just get to lay on the table and forget about. That's not something that we just get to throw to the side and eventually show up when it's convenient for us. We have to respond. You know, once we respond to an event, to actually enjoy said event, we have to do more than just say, yes, we're going to go, don't we? We actually have to show up and participate in the event. You know, if you buy a concert ticket, if you go out and you buy a concert ticket, like, I'm going to be there, and never show up to the concert, you can't claim because you bought the ticket that you were at the concert. If you RSVP to a wedding but don't show up, it doesn't mean that you were at the wedding. If you take a new job offer and you don't show up on the first day, it doesn't mean you have a new job. And that same logic applies to our relationship with Jesus. You know, it's great to say yes to Jesus when you're sitting at church on a Sunday morning. It's great to say yes to Jesus when a friend explains the love that Christ has for you. It's great to say, I want to follow Jesus. But here's the thing. It requires more than our words to actually participate in this relationship with Jesus. We actually have to be willing to pick up our cross and follow him. We have to be willing to die to ourselves and follow him. We have to be willing to say no to the desires of the flesh and allow the Spirit to reign within us. But so often, this becomes easier said than done. Instead, we come up with excuses on why we can't do it. And we see that in the next section of our passage. You see, after the initial invitations were sent out, the people said yes. The host prepared the banquet. He sent his servants out and let them know the banquet was ready. It was time to celebrate. But when the servants got there to let the people know it's time, it tells us in verses 18 through 20, they had all types of excuses on why they couldn't do it. It says, but without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask that to be excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask to excuse me. And another said, I just got married and therefore I am unable to come. You know, when we first read this, we can find ourselves a little perplexed. But the reality is the guests were rejecting the invite, even after they'd accepted it. You know, the first guest began to be asked to be let off from attending the banquet because he had to go and see this piece of land that he had just purchased. You know, purchasing a piece of land at that time in history, at that particular location, was a long and complicated process. We think ours taking 30 days to close sometimes is a long process. It was longer than that. And the man would have had ample opportunity to examine the land well before buying it. And if you bought land back then without ever examining it, you were truly taking a chance. And on top of that, most banquets were held in the evening, leaving very little daylight left to even do a quick inspection of the land. This wasn't an excuse. He just didn't want to go. And you look at the second guest, and he talks about having bought 5 yoke of oxen, which if you don't know means he bought 10 of them. A yoke set up was 2 to work his field. And again, who would purchase that many animals without first testing them out? This would be the equivalent of going and buying a used car and never taking it for a test drive first. That's what we're talking about. And besides, how is he going to test them out with such little daylight left? He just didn't want to go anymore. And then lastly, the third guest, we may think he had an excuse. He just got married. He didn't want to go. But in reality, he had no excuse. He accepted the invitation. And when he accepted it, he would have known about the wedding. Jewish weddings were never a surprise. These were long, elaborate preparations that would go into it because these events would go on for days. He would have known if the banquet would have conflicted with the wedding. He never should have agreed to such a banquet in the first place if it was going to interfere, especially with his own wedding. You know, looking at that passage, and we can start to see some of the absurdity of the excuses. But the reality is, we make a lot of these same excuses all the time when it comes to our walk with Jesus. Remember that this was not a story about being invited to just a banquet. This is a story about being invited to participate in the kingdom of God. And just like the people inside of our parable today, where they allowed common life distractions to stop them from participating in that banquet, we allow these same kind of common life distractions to keep us from participating in God's kingdom today. We build up these barriers, whether it's through our work, whether it's through our relationships, or even our personal pursuits, that often keep us from experiencing the fullness of the kingdom of God. You know, we love this idea of Jesus. We love the idea of having a God that loves us and serves us and one that has gone to the cross to make a way for all of us. And we like that and we want to say yes to that. But when he actually asks us to get up and move, we dismiss it. We don't have time for that. We've got all these other things going on. We build up these barriers. We expect to reap the benefits of a relationship with Jesus without actually participating in that relationship. You know, we hear these stories about missionaries doing these amazing things and God using them in extraordinary ways all around the world. And we wonder at times, why doesn't God use us like that? We hear about some people who are able to bring others to Christ who just boldly go out and share the good news. And they hear about people coming to know who Jesus is through their ministries. And we're like, why doesn't God use us like that? But honestly, the answer is pretty simple. It's because we don't show up to the banquet. We don't respond to the invitation. We say yes to the idea of Jesus, but we refuse to actually participate in the fullness of the kingdom of God. And I can assure you today, if you've been wondering, why doesn't God use me like that? I can assure you, he has opened the doors many times for you to be able to share the good news of with him, about him with others. He's opened the doors for you to spend time in his word. He's made sure to give you an opportunity to make him a priority in your life. He's given you the opportunity to make it a priority to go to him in prayer, to seek his will for your life. But like the people in our parable, we've made excuses in those moments on why we can't do it. We've made excuses on why we can't share the good news, why we're too busy, why we don't have time to get into his word. And we've allowed these lesser things of our life to take precedence over our spiritual well-being, over our obedience to Christ. And when we say no, we can trust that God's still going to get his mission done. He's still going to get the job done. He's still going to hold the banquet. And he makes that clear in verses 21 to 23, where he says, "So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, 'Go out quickly in the streets, alleys of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame.' Master, the servant said, 'What your orders have been done, and there's still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out into the highways, the hedges, and make them come in, so that my house may be filled.'" Clearly, when the master found out that the people he had invited weren't going to be able to make it, and they came up with excuses, that didn't stop him from having the banquet. No, he went out to the streets and he gathered the most unlikely of people to invite them to his banquet. We need to understand that this would have seemed almost scandalous to the people that were sitting there and listening to Jesus. You see, no ancient wealthy person, no leader at that time would have ever imagined inviting a poor person to one of their banquets. They would have never gone into the streets and picked the poor and the blind and the lame to come to their banquets. But we have to remember that Jesus will use the least of these to accomplish his goals. He doesn't require people that have that match a certain dress code. He doesn't need people that have a particular pedigree behind them. He just needs people that are willing to stand up and to serve him. That's what he's looking for. He's not worried about worldly qualifications. He's qualified the called already. And I'm here to tell you, church, you've all been called to work with Jesus in this mission to be the hands and feet to the world around us. We want to see our world transformed. We want to see people come to Jesus. That requires us to stand up and participate in fullness of the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, every man, boy, and girl, and woman around us. We have to be willing to pick up our cross to be his hands and feet to the world around us. We have to be willing to say yes when he sends us and to actually do it. Jesus closes out with verse 24, and he says, "For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet." Jesus is not saying those who were invited and showed up wouldn't enjoy his banquet. No, he's saying those who were invited but never participated will never have the chance to enjoy the banquet. Remember, we have heard it said before, one of the scariest things that I have heard read in the scripture is when it says that there will be many who say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do this, this, and this in your name?" And he says, "Away from me, I never knew you." It's because we said yes to go in the banquet, but we never actually showed up. And this morning, I want to encourage you to show up to that banquet when God calls you. When he calls you to step out in faith, that you step out in faith and that you trust him inside of those moments so that at the end you get to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that takes time with our Heavenly Father. He's already made a way. We just have to put one foot in the other and chase after him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for your son Jesus, for making a way where there's no other way. Lord, we thank you for the example that he is to each one of us. Lord, may we not just be people that say yes to the idea of the banquet, but may we be full participants, Lord. Father, may we hop in there when you've called us to go, and may we go. And may we just participate in this banquet with you. Lord, may we be an example to the world around us on what it means to be followers of Christ. And that when people see us, they see something different. May we share that good news. And may you do a new work inside of us. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Let's stand.
Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone.
Come on, sing it out. I'm no longer.
I'm no longer. Child of God.
as we prepare to close this morning, there's one more thing that we want to do. I want to ask the elders if they could come forward with a microphone. And I also want to ask Pastor Kerwin to come over here. And I'm going to invite Alan to come up with his wife, Yvonne. And Alan has had multiple health complications and things going on. He got a big surgery Thursday. And one of the things the Bible tells us in obedience is that those who are afflicted with different illnesses and stuff, to bring them forward, have the elders anoint them with oil and to pray over them. And so this morning, what we want to do is we want to anoint you with oil before your surgery Thursday and to pray over you at this time. So I'm going to hand this to Jeff. And let's do that yet this morning.
All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, we anoint you. We lift you up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray for Alan. We pray that your mighty hand will be there. May you deliver an awesome miracle here, as we are so blessed to have things that were not around 20 years ago and beyond. And we just pray in faith. We know that you have parted the seas for us. So we just left it, Alan, again, and just pray that your mighty hand will be seen. May you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name I pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to lift Alan and his family together to you. We ask for your healing hands on him, and we just pray that you could just bless them and show your presence with them as they deal in this time of need. We just ask this in your Son's holy name.
Thank you, Lord, for Alan here, and thank you for the blessings you've given us in the past. And we ask your blessing this time, that you be with Alan, give him peace, and be with the doctors and guide them. In Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for Alan. Father, we thank you for the love that he has for you and his desire to chase after you and to seek through different things. And Father, we thank you for his wife as well, Lord, as she has stood next to him through each one of these steps. Father, as Alan prepares to dive into this surgery on Thursday, Lord, we ask that you just go before him. Father, anything that he's got that's keeping him from being calm. And Father, may he just experience your grace and your mercy at this time. May he just feel overwhelmed in your peace as he enters. And Father, when the doctors and nurses, Lord, we ask that you just guide them and direct them through each one of the steps, that they may know exactly where to look and what to do through the whole process, that he may come out as a new man. And Father, that there is no other way to explain it but your great mercy working inside of his life. Lord, we ask that you be with Yvonne as well. Lord, that you give her peace, that you give her comfort as she waits, that she may know that she's not alone in any of this, that you stand right there with her. Lord, we pray all of this and for your healing touch in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. So in closing today, may we remember to walk in obedience. May we allow God to do a new work inside of each of us, because we know he can. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.